Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Ugh. You said you were over him, but his hoodie is still in your rotation. It's time. Grab your phone, snap a few pics, and sell it on Depop. Listed in minutes, with no selling fees. And just like that, a guy 500 miles away just paid full price for your closure. And right on cue.
Hey, still got my hoodie?
Nope, but I've got tonight's dinner paid for. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. List now with no selling fees. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the Antler Up podcast, where we dive into archery, hunting, and the mindset needed to elevate your game. Join us as we explore the latest strategies and gear to help you become the best hunter you can be, both in and out of the woods. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this week's episode of the Antler Up podcast. We're on episode 254, and this episode is brought to you by Tethered, the world's best saddle hunting gear. And on this week's episode, this is another camp series episode, episode 2. I got Josh Hillard on the podcast, and just building off of the episode from last week, talking to Billy, talking to Brandon Miller, Josh is coming from the state of Michigan, where he goes up to the UP with his best friend, Mark Kenyon, who we all know Mark as the host of the Wired to Hunt podcast. And obviously from a long time listening to that one, I knew Josh went up there, and I just thought it would be really cool to hear his perspective of going up there. And what's really cool, because it hits home now for me, is Josh and Mark bringing both of their boys up and spending time up there. And Josh tells his story where after finally of 12 years, he finally did it, and he did it with his son by his side. So asking him the same similar questions that we asked Brandon and Billy last week. So you get a cool cool perspective of what camp life is like for Josh up in the UP in Michigan. And we have two more episodes like this with two different guests. And last week I originally envisioned where I was going to mash two episodes together, but I know it's going to be a shorter episode, so I hope you enjoy it. But just want to run down a couple things real quick. The first one being we just wrapped up the first weekend of PA Rifle, and man, it's just awesome to see some of my good friends have success, some of their little ones having success, or other siblings and people that are just getting into hunting having an opportunity to fill a tag. So shout out to Steven on that one, who is cousins with my good buddy Taylor. So had a chance to shoot a local 3D course with those guys this past summer, and Steven, first time going out there, and he tried a couple times with the bow and put the equalizer in his hands, and he got done, and Taylor was right by his side, which, man, I'd love to hear that. But the guys over at Antler Up Camp, was myself, Jim, and Tim, and later on this month you'll hear a podcast from our opening day. But all weekend, the guys had a blast, number one. But number two, we all had success. So that will be coming out here on a future episode as well to hear how those fun stories transpired. But thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. Hopefully you all had a great Thanksgiving. Hopefully you all filled tags if you're still going out there for rifle season. Remember, have fun, be safe. And before we get into this week's episode with it, I want to talk to you about a product from Tethered, and that is going to be the Wind Milkweed Dispenser. And this little sucker is in collaboration with Tony from Drawn Archery, who's a great human being, does some really awesome things, makes great bowstrings and some other, does some other work as well. But just one of the good dudes doing some fun and innovative things, I think. And he partnered with Tethered. And this is a little silicone pouch that keeps, you know, if you have all your milkweed, you just want something cool and just quick, quiet, discreet, this thing has it for you. It has a Molly clip attachment that could attach to any Molly enabled item, and also includes a Velcro strap that allows it to attach to anything as well. So if you want it on your gun, so if you want it on your bow or any other piece of gear, you could do that. It's only weighs 1 ounce too. It's real tiny, little silicone base, so it's quiet as well. And it's just, it's a really great functional piece, and I can't believe no one else really thought of, you know, what this little product is, like the silicone things. Like, obviously there's the coin pouch and people will say certain things, but this little sucker, the way it could attach to pieces of a gear, like for me, I have it on my UltraLock saddle and it just works great. So check that out over on tethered.com. Also, if you hunted this past weekend, you know that it was freaking cold, and from Huntworth I wore the Saskatoon jacket later on once I got all set up and everything along those lines and stayed put pretty much for most of the day. And the Saskatoon is a windproof jacket, which is awesome because we did have some wind on the mountain where we were. But it also has the heat boost graphene technology, so it keeps you warm all day without that extra bulk. And I have mine in the Tarnin pattern, which I friggin' love, especially this time of year when there's really not a lot of green. So that's what kind of makes it different from the Vertec. But definitely check it out over at huntworthgear.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this week's episode of the Antler Up Podcast. And I'm thrilled because I got a good buddy of mine, someone that I finally had a chance to meet last year at the Pennsylvania Outdoor Show, where we worked the same booth, the Tethered booth. I got Josh Hillard on the other side here, where Josh was on, that had been 2 years ago when you were still with First Light, doing some awesome things there in the whitetail side of things. So it's a great time to have you on for this discussion, because this is episode two of our camp discussion. So I hope you enjoyed that first episode, listeners. But Josh, man, welcome back to the show. I got Michigan native, the guy that is, again, like I've been telling everybody, with this camp little mini series I'm doing, I'm talking to buddies that I know for a fact how much hunting and what camp means to them. And then I was like, man, I know Josh has that camp. Like, he has been doing it for a long time up in Michigan, and just having another obviously a friend and coworker, but someone that I could actually hear from what your tradition and what, you know, Michigan means to you as far as deer hunting camp goes. So I can't wait to hear some of your awesome stories, man. So welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you having me. Excited to be here and talk about deer camp a little bit.
Absolutely, man. So right off the rip, dude, congratulations on that hammer of a buck, dude.
Yeah. I killed a good one in Iowa and speaking of camp, kind of had like a mini camp out there. I've got a couple buddies that live out there and it's always fun to get out there every handful of years and get to share a little bit of a different deer camp with them. And it's a little bit more hunting focused than maybe some of the other stuff, from Northern Michigan deer camp stuff. But, you don't spend a whole lot of time at camp out in Iowa. You're in a tree all day, but that was a great time. Killed a good one, killed my personal best to date. And it's always fun to be able to celebrate with buddies out there and have a few adult beverages and just take it all in. It was a great time.
Heck yeah, man. So like you just said, growing up, going to deer camp up in the UP, you know, what were some of your earliest hunting traditions you remember growing up, and who influenced those traditions the most for you?
Yeah, well, I didn't grow up hunting. So I didn't get into it until just out of college. I went a few times in high school, hunted a little bit, but never really considered myself like a hunter in high school. I went and sat in a bucket with a buddy with a shotgun during gun season, you know, like I think I did that like one or two seasons in high school and never really had like any opportunities. But once I got out of college, kind of really got into it. And, the camp I go to is in the northern lower peninsula. Like Northwest Michigan, and it's like very similar to some of the stuff in the UP, not as harsh of winters, you're not dealing with the predation like you do in the UP with wolves and stuff like that. But big cedar swamp, big wood stuff, which is similar to UP landscape. But yeah, man, it's a blast going up there. You go out there not expecting a lot of deer encounters. You go up there expecting a good time and just, so our gun season here in Michigan always falls on November 15th. Right after you've just been going at it real hard with a bow, 15 days of first 15 days of November. And the gun season for me always felt like a chance to almost like relax a little bit, right? Like not as high pressure. Like you're just going up to have a good time. If you see some deer, great. If not, go sit a couple hours in the morning, go back, have some coffee and breakfast at camp and just relax for the afternoon. It's almost just like feels like a vacation from hunting a little bit, even though you're hunting.
Yeah. Who brought you to that, your first camp?
Yeah. So I go, to my buddy, Mark's camp. So Mark Kenyon, he's had a family camp forever and he's going up there since he was a little guy. And, it had always been a family camp. Just family. And I got the invite up there. Gosh, we were trying to figure out the first year that I went up there and we couldn't quite put our finger on it. I think I've been going up there close to 12 years now. People came and went and kind of some spots opened up at camp and it was like, hey, if you want to come up, we'd love to have you come up type deal. And I've been going up every year. I think I've missed maybe one or two years just with like some weird scheduling stuff. But been going for the last at least 12 years, the same spot.
That's pretty awesome, man. So like, obviously you see that his family side of things and yep. You get a chance to see the social side of things of probably what you call your family, even though they're probably non-blood related side of it, with the friends, when you think about it, is it more of like a family event? Is it more of that social tradition, like with the friends, a mix of both? How does like that dynamic really shape your overall experience with that deer camp?
Yeah. So it's essentially all family except me. So me and then Mark, his dad, his uncle are kind of like the stalwarts of like his dad and uncle are kind of like the head honchos there at camp. They kind of run the show. And then, Mark's been doing a lot more, they've been doing a lot of habitat work up there and trying to make it better. Like it's not great habitat for deer, but they've been doing a lot to try to make it better. And then like this year, his cousin came up. There's a handful of friends that will, some of his uncle Steve's friends will, like, I think there was a guy that came for a couple years there, but just kind of like a couple people come, a couple people go. But that's kind of like the core of it. It's usually like the four of us. And then since the last couple of years, we've been starting to take our boys up. So Mark brought his two boys, and I brought my oldest, this year. So it was a lot of fun being up there with the kids.
Heck yeah, man. So I want you to save that aspect of it for this, maybe next question for the back sure. end of it. But when you think about going there the last 12 years, and obviously the really amazing things that Mark's been able to do in his career within this world of hunting and everything along those lines, some traditions I'm sure have evolved now. Like you were saying, he's been doing a lot more habitat things. Yep. So like, what are maybe some of those evolving hunting traditions that have changed over the years? And obviously then elaborate on some of the new ones that you guys are hoping to incorporate.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'll speak to like kind of my experience up there. I know like it's like his grandpa, who's passed on now, a number of years ago, he passed away before I started going up, but like he was kind of the head honcho, before. And like, I hear so many cool stories about, you know, what it used to be like and how like the landscape up there was totally different. And, you know, out in front of camp, it used to just be open fields. Now it's all grown up with cedar trees and just like all these different stories, you know, sitting in camp and they'd see, you know, deer running through the yard. They've got one of my favorite things about camp is the wall with the fireplace is just all mounts of all the deer that have been killed up there over the years. And that's probably like my favorite thing about camp. You know, you go in and you just see the wall of, you know, the old school, like velvet, like skull cap mounts, you know, it's just this little one room log cabin. But yeah, like from like a tradition standpoint, it is always kind of like, all right, you know, go hunt your one kind of semi-permanent blind we've got set up here and go sit there until you're ready to come in. And they still got a handful of those permanent blinds, but they've really changed. Like something that's changed is like paying, like, I always remember Mark saying like his grant, like for all the things that he learned from his grandpa, like one of the things his grandpa never talked about was like hunting the wind, right? Like they just went and sat their spots. Didn't matter.
Regardless.
So I think regardless. Right. So like, I think that's something that's really changed, the way people have hunted up there is getting people to think about that. And like I know his dad pays attention to that. Now it's always fun kind of listening to him hear like, oh, you know, the wind's going to be coming out of the south, so I'm going to go sit on this side of the food plot, or I'm going to go sit here. Cause I don't think those conversations were happening, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And then his uncle like is a big still hunter. So he just loves walking. You know, he's not a guy that could sit down. So we always kind of like it when he's up there, cause he's always kind of pushing some deer around. So it's always nice having him kind of walking around, but yeah, man, like, the traditions for me, like some of the things that I enjoy is like not getting out there, you know, half hour before daylight. It's like, we'll kind of push it, you know, getting in there maybe a little bit before gray light, maybe right at gray light. It's just, you know, I think for me, like the biggest thing is just it's a much more relaxed feel. And it's, that's one of my favorite things about it is just getting up there and kicking back and, you know, hunting, but not having the pressure to, you know, really get after it too hard.
Yeah, dude. Well, and you talk about, I'm sure once, maybe it will be a couple years from now that you actually bring the boys up and the kids up for actual participating in deer camp side of things. But, you know, I'm sure you guys have experience of bringing them already, like you just said, of bringing them up there. Yep. And I'm sure the two of you guys are just thrilled for one day of being like, man, just wait till we're the old guys and these two are, you know, these kids are just running circles all around us and everything.
It'll be here before we know it.
oh man, it goes quick. They'll be telling you guys how to hunt the
exactly the
spots.
His oldest, I think his oldest, Mark's oldest, goes with Mark's dad with his grandpa, and we always joke like, yeah, you know, Everett will tell you when a deer is coming, what you need to do, and you know, he's got it all figured out. He's quite the little hunter. But yeah, man, it's just like, they got some great neighbors up there, some great relationships with the neighbors. One of the guys like makes his own moonshine. So bring that over after a long day in the woods. Not so much the last couple of years with the kids around, we've kind of shied away from that side of it, but it's not that it was ever too rowdy, but it's definitely toned back a little bit. We're all in bed a little bit earlier these days, these last couple of years with the kids up there. So
nice. So I know you mentioned you love going up there and you seeing the skull caps and seeing the old velvet skull cap things. Other than like that side of things, what can you think of like a favorite memory? Like maybe your first deer up there, or someone else doing something, or it could even be non-hunting related. Like what, like when you think of trying to maybe explain somebody, you're in a grocery store, you're still wearing an orange vest for whatever reason, and someone's just like, man, why deer hunting camp? And you got to think of that favorite memory. What is that?
Well, we can get into this in a minute, but like probably my new favorite memory is just from this past weekend. We can hit on that in a minute. I don't even know if you know what happened this past weekend, but one of the things we always joke about, well, my first year up there, this is just kind of a funny story. My first year up there, I was still a relatively new hunter, and you know, first kind of gun season, like I'd hunted down home a little bit, like during gun season, but never really had like a great spot to go, just wander around some public land during gun season. And so I go up there, and at the time I brought a muzzle loader with me. It's what I had, that's what I was going to hunt with, and go and just, you know, shoot it, make sure everything was good. And come to find out, like the breech plug is all like fouled up, like not firing. So Mark and I like drive 40 minutes into town. I buy like a scoped combo from a sporting goods store, like off the rack, buy it, go back, sight it in. I was hunting with it that afternoon. That's still the gun I use today. I've done some work to it. But it's just like, that's just like one of those like young and dumb moments where you don't sight your gun until you get up there. So that's like one funny story I always think about, is how much time we spent messing around getting that gun. That first year I went up. And but I think like my favorite thing to do up there is they got these like old leather chairs, like right by the fireplace. And I love, and they have these like big oversized, like old school, like Field & Stream coffee cups. My favorite thing is getting up in the morning, got the radio going, they got the propane lights going, and just sipping coffee in one of those little leather chairs sitting by the window and the fireplace going. It's dark and it's quiet. And just like, it's just perfect. Like that's my favorite part of it. Just the wood crackling in the fireplace, and just talking about like what's going to happen today. And like that's what I look forward to getting up there, is just sipping some coffee before the morning hunt and just shooting the shit with the guys.
I love that, man. Do you guys have any like rituals that you all do? I know that kind of sounds like a weird question, but like, is it, like a certain meal, anything along those lines that you guys do or anything?
No, not really. I wouldn't say we really have anything like that. Like we used to play a lot of poker, stay up late playing poker, that kind of stuff. But like, as far as like a meal, I don't like, we usually kind of split meals, right? Like, hey, you do breakfast, you do lunch, we'll do dinner. Always some venison, always some sort of venison meal we'll have. And then there's like a local bar we go to at least once every time we're up there. It's fun just to go visit a local establishment.
That's awesome. So you had the generational impact, obviously, from Mark's grandfather, from his dad, and bringing you in and introducing like your kids into it now and all that stuff. You know, like what would you and Mark and or even if you started your own camp, like you build another little shed right on top of that same land or next door or something along those lines. Like what traditions are you guys really hoping to pass down to the next?
Yeah. I mean, as far as like specific things, I don't know. Like I would want my kids to enjoy it to the point where I have. And like, I think like the biggest thing I would love to see is like for them to pass that on to their kids if they were have kids, right? Like just kind of keep that trend going. I can't think of like any like one specific thing like I'd want, like wear this pair of socks or, you know, any like superstitious things like that. Or like I want them to have like the passion and the love for it like I do. And however that gets across to them, I don't know. But like that's what I would want. Like I would want them to think about going up there all year long. And like that's when that day comes to go up there, like you can hardly hold your excitement in, you know.
Yeah. I love that. Dude, that's the perfect answer too for that. That's kind of been the theme so far amongst the guests with that, is just passing that on, having that joy, that love. I mean, I haven't said this aspect of it from in the first two interviews with this, Josh, but I don't know if you saw years ago, man. I mean, I was probably in middle school at the time. I'm 37. So there was an MTV show that was like, I live for the beach, or I live for the New Jersey beach, Ocean City or something like that. Yep. And it was this Guido dude that he worked construction, and his like one famous line was like, I work Monday through Friday to go to the beach, right? Like that was like his thing. And he would go on the weekends and live it up and drink and go out and all that stuff. And I've never had a camp feel like, yep. I would go to my dad's. We would do like the same thing as far as getting prepared for our rifle season, but I would stay at his house. Like we didn't have a cabin. Yep. We had our own private land mountain that we would hunt, but we didn't have a camp. And this year, me and my buddies, we have something now. And like the first couple times when I hunted archery there this past year, it was like I would work Monday through Friday. And when I knew I was heading out Friday after work, dude, I was like fiending. I'm like, I'm just working to can't wait to go to camp. And I came across that clip for whatever reason. I was like, OMG. I was like, this is literally how I feel, like this guy from back in the day watching this MTV show when I was a kid. So it's kind of funny though, but like, you know, how that is. And yeah. It's just the love and the passion. But going along with that is, I did say this last time, like my daughter has yet to go up there, but like she can't wait. And it doesn't necessarily mean to hunt actually. It's just, she just wants to go up there and experience like that aspect of camp basically. Yep. And I'm excited for that.
Yeah, no, it's the best, man. And so like last year was the first year I brought Wade's my oldest, the first year I brought him up. And so like we were, I pulled him out of school Friday, 15th was a Friday, and picked him up from school Thursday. And the original plan was to go straight from school, just like have the truck packed and go. Well, there's a little bit of change, you know how it is with kids, right? Like one of them might be sick. So like we're gonna hold off a night and like just make sure everything's good. So like when I picked Wade up, I go, hey buddy, like change of plans, we're gonna go up tomorrow morning. And it was just like waterworks, man. Like he just like lost it. He was so disappointed that we weren't gonna go. And you know, even though it was only like one night difference, he couldn't hold it in. He was so sad. So like I think we're on the right track. I think for right now, it's just because he's so excited to get up there and play with his friends, right? Like play with the Mark's two boys and do all that. But like, I think he knows it's like, it's different. It's a special place to be.
So I want you to maybe see if you could elaborate on, Josh, like how you were saying there's, you don't have that pressure on you. You know what I mean? You're going out gray light, you're enjoying coffee.
Yeah.
I guess like maybe talk about like that impact on you.
Yeah.
For just like having that fresh, yeah, you know, that fresh breath of fresh air, basically, and really enjoying the moment, and like what that really means to you, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think like, you know, here in Michigan, you know, it's, you know, our bow season opens up October 1st and, you know, gun season is November 15th. So like that first 45 days of the season, it just feels like a real grind because, you know, you get it in Pennsylvania too, right? Like there's so many hunters here. Like there's so much pressure on these deer. Like your best opportunity to kill a good buck is, you know, before gun season. So like there, whether you know it or not, I think you're just like putting pressure on yourself to like get it done, you know, in October, early November. And, when it happens, great. When it doesn't, it's just like that much harder, once the guns start cracking. And for me, it's like where we hunt in northern Michigan, there's just not a lot of deer. Like where we're at specifically, it's just like low deer densities, big woods. So it was always like, well, there's a chance we might see deer. We probably won't, but like there's a chance we could see something. But we're not going to like kill ourselves trying to get out there, hour and a half before daylight and, going 3 miles back in, whatever, like that you might do for bow season. So it's just kind of like it almost feels like a reset, right? Like kind of like you're coming off the rut where you're doing a bunch of all day sits and just day after day after day, or, coming back from some out of state trips or whatever it is. It's just like the pace of the game just slows down. I think part of it's having like a gun in your hand, right? Like a little bit of an equalizer. Like you don't have to be in the exact right spot. You can be in like the right zone. But then also just like, going up there for 12 years or whatever, I think I can count on one hand how many legal bucks. I know I can count on one hand how many legal bucks I've seen in that time. It's been two. So it's just like the likelihood of like catching up with one is, has been slim. Now it's getting better. But I think just there's not that pressure, like, okay, I gotta get it done today. I gotta get it done today or whatever, So I think it just kind of like, it's a nice reset. You go out there for a few days, long weekend, whatever it is, however much time you have, and kind of go home then and reset for like the last part of the season. Right. Kind of get a bow back in your hand at some point, or shift to kind of, if you need to fill some doe tags, maybe that's when you do it. Or it's just like, I don't know, after gun season, it's just gets really tough here. So just a kind of a shift in mindset, I guess.
I like that, man. I love it. Now, what about this past weekend?
Yeah, so went up, like I said, went up to camp, got up there. We're actually driving up opening morning just because making sure kids weren't sick. Everyone was in the clear. Everyone was doing good. So we ended up, delaying getting up there for a day. So we're driving up opening morning, find out that one of the big deer in the area gets killed by the neighbor. So it's like, oh man, it was good. It was a big one. And so it's kind of like a bummer, right? But at the same time, like you're going up there with like three kids and the likelihood that they're going to be quiet enough for a, big deer to come strolling through when one of them is in a blind is probably unlikely. But, so we find that out. Get up there, let the kids are running around being crazy. Like the thing about the cabin where it's at is it's like right by, like all the hunting is done within a few hundred yards of the cabin, right? So like we try to be, somewhat quiet, like not too rowdy, but like having a 7 and a 5 and a 4 year old, like there's no such thing. Like it's, you get them together, they go nuts. So I don't think we didn't see anything. We didn't see anything. No one saw anything Friday night. So like, go back in Saturday morning and sitting in a good spot. Like this is the one area that I've sat over the years that I've actually seen some deer. Saw a real nice 8-pointer there a handful of years ago. And it's just like there's like a old pipeline that kind of runs through there. So there's a couple different spots where there's a change in cover, some good edge, in this spot. And then they've done some habitat work in this like big stand of hemlocks. So it's just, it was like a good spot. I hadn't been in there in a few years since they've done some of the work. And so we're sitting there Saturday morning and, we've been in there for a couple hours and I think we've gone through all of our snacks by now. So he's on the ground, playing around and drawing on a notepad or something. I don't even know what he was doing. And I looked down, it's like, 8:30, 8:45, something like that. I'm like, hey buddy, like, shh, calm down a bit. Like, just be quiet. Like he loved wearing his like ear protection the whole time. So of course, like when he's talking, right, he's like talking way too loud because he can't hear himself. And I was like, hey buddy, like bring it down a little bit. And I turn around and there's this buck just looking at us like 40 yards away. He kind of snuck in through some brush and he's just like looking at us. And I think at this point, like, so Wade is like behind me and I think he stood up to be able to see. I think Wade stood up to be able to see, and that buck just like, you know how they do it, just like the head bob, and he's like, oh man, something's up. So he took off And because I like, I have my gun on my rest, like on my little shooting stick, and but it's not like I don't have it shouldered or anything, so I'm just like frozen. And he moves. I got one little hole like further down, so I try to get positioned as soon as he leaves, and he went right through that little shooting hole and didn't have a chance. But he was heading towards the like the general direction of Mark's dad, and Mark's oldest son were sitting in a blind, I don't know, a couple hundred yards from us, and he's heading that way. So I'm just like waiting. I go, all right, they're gonna get a shot at him, and I keep watching out there, just like see if anything's going on. And that buck ended up circling back, and now he's like walking back along the edge of the swamp, and these hemlocks. And I was able to get him stopped, and Wade is watching, and put it right on his shoulder, and shot him, and he ran maybe 20, 30 yards and piled up in the swamp, and dude, it was wild. He's not like a big deer, and he's like a 7-point, like probably 2.5 year old buck, but it's just like, it's the one I'll remember forever. Cause you know, you had your boy in the blind and kind of went up there saying like, I'm going to shoot any legal buck. Like, I don't care. If I get the opportunity to fill a tag with Wade in the blind, like I'm doing it. And you know, it ended up being a nice little buck. Like we called the top row buck for the mounts. Like it'll be, it's big enough to go on the top row. Right, like all they get bigger as you go up. So he was a top row buck, and like little would be an 8-pointer, but didn't have much of a brow tine on one side. So yeah, man, first time shooting my gun at a deer, you know, up at deer camp. You know, been going for 10, 12 years, whatever it's been, and first opportunity at a deer is pretty awesome. No better feeling than getting that thing back to camp and hanging it up on the pole and standing around looking at it and talking with them, drinking a beer, looking at it, you know, that's just there's no better feeling in the world. So got the deer camp, you know, monkey off my back, finally got one up there.
That's unbelievable that it took, like you said, obviously the deer numbers are not there. But like that long to cherish that moment. And it took, you know, just think like that first year when you were there, to when this actually happened, you had your boy in there with you, dude. Like that is so cool.
It could have happened. Yeah, all the years it couldn't happen. I killed a turkey with him in the blind this spring, and now a buck this fall. So I just need to start taking him around wherever I go.
Yeah,
I like it. Good luck charm, but yeah, it was fun. Like you know, we sat there for a while because we, like I said, we weren't too far from other guys in the group hunting, so we just want to make sure we, you know, didn't screw. So, but every 2 minutes, like, okay, can we go back? Dad, can we go back? Can we tell Uncle Mark, you know, can we tell Everett? Can we tell Colt? Like, let's go. And just like trying to get him to calm down. And we let the boys kind of track the deer. Like, we kind of went and pre-checked it out. Just kind of had an idea. We never found any blood. We just like, luckily didn't go far. Just like little body search. We found them. But we let the boys, you know, walk ahead of us. And like, oh, you know, there it is. You guys see it over there? It's like. So they found it, right? The boys found it, and then it was a argument for the rest of camp of who actually found it. But they all found it together, so it was fun, and got a little lesson and all the fun stuff that comes after pulling the trigger too. So it was a good experience for all of them.
Dude, that is awesome to hear, man. Congratulations on that, and
thanks,
and
buddy.
Dude, what a year! Like you said, spring with him in there, and then shooting that buck in Iowa and then getting that one up at camp. Nothing could can't get any better than that, dude. So congratulations.
Yeah dude, it's been a whirlwind of a season. Like from not hunting much, we got a, you know, 3.5 month old at home, so you know, I was a 2 month old when the season started. Like I think I've been out 3 or 4 times, just a couple quick afternoon hunts before my Iowa trip, and I was like, you know, this might be one of those years, right? Like Iowa might happen for me, but it might just be one of those years to just kind of get out when you can. And if something happens, it happens. And then, you know, within a matter of like 6 or 7 days, fill 2 buck tags and you're riding on cloud 9, and whatever happens the rest of the year, you know, it's all gravy from here.
Yeah, dude, I love that you just said that because it makes me feel good about my situation. Just because for me, I was just talking to a buddy through text message. I was like, you know what? I really want to go through and see how many days I actually did hunt this year. And for me, the state of Pennsylvania, I had 7 sits. That's it. And I was like, I put a lot of, like you said, you went to Iowa, you know, you wanted to get that opportunity. for me, it was my Ohio trip, and I was successful there on that trip. So that was like, that was my big, I put a lot of time and effort. Like that was one of my main goals, was to kill an Ohio buck this year, since I got my, came home with my tail between my legs last year and stuff like that. And, you know, I was able to get that done. And now I'm like you, I'm excited for what the gun season. I haven't been this excited for gun season in a very long time. And I can't stress how excited I am. And that means I'm going to be, like you said, shoot a doe. If I get I'm hoping to, what am I kidding? I'll probably shoot any legal buck at this point.
Yeah. But yeah, cause you guys have antler point restrictions there in PA, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'll shoot a six or better. That's my goal. I won't just shoot like a little 5 point or something like that. I'll try to shoot a six or better. But yeah, man, dude, I appreciate your time talking about camp, your traditions that you've started doing with Mark and his family. And what a cool perspective. And I greatly appreciate your time. I value you, man. So thanks for coming on, dude.
Hey, appreciate it. It's always fun to get to talk about deer camp. I feel very fortunate to have gotten that invite all those years ago, and I hope I keep getting it, because it's one of my favorite places to go.
Heck yeah, man. I'd love to hear that. Well, thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next week, everybody. Antler up.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Antler Up podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Please go check us out on our Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and at antlerupoutdoors.com. If you enjoyed this episode, go leave a review and subscribe for next week's episode. Until then, Antler up.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.